All stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. Today we have with us Mr. Zachary King. Now, before I let Mr. King tell you a little bit about himself, share with you his extremely interesting stories, I want to warn you that some of the things that we may discuss may not exactly be for the ears of children. So, you have been warned. What we are going to discuss today is Satanism, wizardry, ritualistic abortion, and Bohemian Grove. Mr. King, thank you very much for being on this show. I've been looking forward to this for a week now. I have had hundreds of questions come through my mind of what it is that I would like to ask you, the experiences that you must have had. And I think the best thing to do for the audience is to just let you tell your story. And from there, also, where can people find the information that you put out? Mr. King, the microphone is yours.
AllSaintsMinistry.org is my website. If you go there, I would recommend that you sign up for my newsletter. We have one come out about every month. Also, my phone number is there and my email address. And the phone number that you would call me on is this phone that I'm talking on. So you're not going to get a secretary, you're going to get me. Tons of people have questions, usually about spiritual warfare type topics. That's my area of expertise. I also have a book called Abortion is a Satanic Sacrifice. And I have a CD set by the same name. If you get the book, there's a couple of extras in it that you don't get if you get the CD set. The new CDs actually have an endorsement on the front of it that say it's endorsed by Father Frank Pavone. The old CDs don't have that. And the book has an endorsement letter inside of it, which I like to, when I do my talks, a lot of times I have an assistant that sits next to me. And at the end of the talk, I say, now I know somebody just heard this talk and thought, this is the biggest, you know, crock of BS I've ever heard. Does anybody endorse this man? And then I have the person read the letter, and it ends with Father Frank Pavone. So, you know, semi-well-known priest in the pro-life movement. I also have a YouTube channel. I've got probably 100-something videos up. Most of them, because I know that, you know, everybody's got a short attention span, so me included. Most of my videos are between like 5 and 10 minutes long. Most of them probably between 5 and 7 minutes long. And it's just what to do if you've got a cursed object, what to do if you've done this or done that, or how to avoid certain things. And basically my ministry is having you run away from the devil and run towards God. You know, if you can avoid the bad and run towards the good, I'm not saying your life's going to be rosy, because it's not, but you know, we're trying to keep you out of hell if we can. You know, my ministry, our mission statement is fighting the culture of death one soul at a time.
How is it that you got involved from a young age into the occult?
Well, you know, like kids today are probably, you know, totally enamored with Harry Potter. Back then, we didn't have Harry Potter. I was 10 years old in 1976. So, but I loved all the scary movies on TV. Anything that had to do with magic, I was just totally enraptured with. And I went to my Baptist preacher and my parents and asked if magic was real. Is that something I can really do? And they both said no, that magic is fake. It's just in movies. It's not really anything you can do. Now, as a side note here, why would God say in 33 places in the Bible, don't do magical things, if it was impossible to do it? Like, if you couldn't lie, thou shalt not lie wouldn't be in the Ten Commandments. if it was impossible to kill, thou shalt not kill wouldn't be there either. So, but apparently my Baptist preacher and my parents didn't read those 33 verses and said magic was fake. So I'm watching all this magic and I want to know, is magic something that I could do in real life? Now, I play D&D every weekend. I'm the only, well, there's two of us at the same age, 10 years old, but everybody else is like older, like high school age kids or adults. And magic always works in that, but I mean, you roll a die, you roll a 15 or higher, your magic spell works. That's not real magic. Now, we're also playing a Bloody Mary game at school. And, you know, the first day of school in the fifth grade, this kid met me and said, hey, at the first break, meet me in the bathroom. Okay. So we don't have the internet back then. We can't look up Stranger Danger or Predators or any of that stuff. And I go in the bathroom at the first break. It's at 10:20 a.m. And there's this boy in there, but there's also 49 other kids in there besides myself, boys and girls in the same bathroom. They say, we're going to turn out the light, chant a phrase in the mirror, and if you do it right, the spirit of a burn victim will show up. I was like, all right, sure, let's try that. Nobody believed that's going to happen. Now, that's not really a game, though. It's a spell. To make a spell real, you need magic. You need intention, repetition, and a demonic presence. So we all chant the phrase. It's pitch black in this room. Suddenly, this scary face appears in the mirror, and 49 kids ran screaming out of the bathroom. One child, he's an idiot, and I can call him an idiot because it was me, stayed in there thinking, this is the coolest thing in the world. I chanted this phrase. I made this face appear. Now, I want to bring up here that at 10 years old, you're not the sharpest tack. Or as I like to say, you're not the sharpest marble. You know, what I'm not realizing at 10 years old is that I'm not looking into the realm, some foreign realm somewhere. I'm not looking into the mirror. I mean, I am looking at the mirror, but that demon's not in the mirror. That demon's standing next to me. I'm seeing his reflection in the mirror. But so many kids were in such a panic to get out of the bathroom that injuries happened at school, and they sent notes home. And my dad had been a Marine, and he was a huge man, and I was terrified of my dad. So I had to walk up to my dad in the den and give him this note that said that if we were caught playing this game at school, we'd be suspended for 3 days. Not because they cared about our spiritual well-being. It was just kids got really badly injured in their haste to exit the bathroom. I mean, like, broken arm, broken leg hurt. So I had to bring this note up to my dad and give it to him in the den, and he read that. And usually, he just signed it and gave it back to me and didn't care. But this day was a special day for him because he read the note and then looked at me and in his normal loving tone said, have you been playing this game? And being terrified of my dad as I was, I told him the absolute truth, no. So I wouldn't get caught playing it at school and get suspended for 3 days. I started playing it at home. Now, when I played it at school, I played it once a day. Now that I'm playing it at home, I get up in the morning and play the game. I use the bathroom. I play the game. I wash my hands. I play the game. I brush my teeth. I play the game. I go have breakfast. I come back. I play the game. I wash my hands again. I play the game. I brush my teeth again. I play the game. I go to the bathroom before I leave home. I play the game. When I get home from school, my parents aren't home. I have a bathroom in my bedroom, so I'm just playing the game 50 times a day. Every time I play it, I see this face. After a while, I start to wonder, am I doing magic? I don't know what this face is. It's the same face. It doesn't talk to me. It's not smiling, but it's not exactly snarling. It's kind of the face is in like a perpetual snarl, but you know, I apply the law of bulldogs to the thing. The law of bulldogs. Bulldogs are friendly, but bulldogs are ugly. They can't help it. They were born with that face. Maybe what I'm seeing is a burn victim. Maybe they were born with that face. They can't help it that they're ugly. So and it doesn't communicate with me. It's just there. While I'm doing that, I'm playing campaigns of D&D every weekend. Magic always works in that. I'm always rolling a 15 or higher. And there's many times I rolled a 20 every time. And, you know, like, but that's not real magic. So I'm wondering, can I do magic in real life? So I decide I'm going to try something. I'm going to try a magic spell for money because, you know, I don't like my pop quiz every Friday, but I don't want to hurt my teacher. I'm a little nerdy kid. I don't like PE, but again, I don't want to hurt the coach. I want to do a magic spell that proves magic is real, but nobody gets hurt doing it. So I did a magic spell for money, and I found a $5 bill in a can of tennis balls. Somebody had to find that can. It just happened to be me. That could have been a coincidence. So I did it again the following Friday. Always did my spells on Friday, and then Saturday I'd go out and play. The next Saturday I went out, and I found a $10 bill on the side of the road. And I thought, okay, 8 days, $15. I can nickel and dime my way up to being a millionaire. But still could have been a coincidence. I'm a bit of a hard sell. So next weekend I did it again, but this time I did it in the bathroom at home. And halfway into my spell, I did the Bloody Mary chant. And when the face appeared, I continued doing my magic spell for money, trying to convey to this thing that I'm doing a magic spell for money. And then I finish out my spell. We're done. Next day I go out and I play, and something shiny catches my eye off in the distance. So I run through this large unpaved parking lot, and I find what it was. I mean, there's nothing there shiny, but I do see what looks like Monopoly money rolled up tight in rubber bands. And so I just stuck that in my pocket and went about playing. And then later that night, everybody's in bed asleep, and I'm in my room, lights are turned out, sheets up over my head, flashlights in my mouth, and I'm unraveling my treasure. And it looked like Monopoly money because I had never seen a $100 bill. And when I had finished unraveling everything, I had 10 $100 bills. So it's 1976, comic books are 15 to 20 cents, candy is about 20 cents, and penny candy is a penny. Those same pieces of penny candy that you now buy for 50 cents, back in 1976, they were a penny. And I absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt that magic is real. And I can do this every day for the rest of my life. You know, and my number one car, the car that I wanted beyond anything, was a Lamborghini Countach. And I knew that if I did this spell every day for a year, I'd have a Lamborghini Countach. I knew that if I did it every day for 3 years, I'd be a millionaire. And I thought this was the way to go. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I am, of course, not going to tell my Baptist preacher and my parents that they were wrong, because knowledge is power. And I'm a 10-year-old kid, and I know something that adults don't know. And I think I'm on top of the world. And this is, we didn't have the lotto back then, but if we had, I'd have felt like this was it. I won. You know, in 1976, $1,000 would be worth about $6,000 to $7,000 now.
You know, what this brings to mind is, I remember in Toys R Us, you could go into the kids section where they have, like, you know, the place where you can get the checkers or a chess board, and you could pick up a Ouija board. And, you know, obviously this is something, you know, made in a toy factory somewhere in China. But I believe the effects of it were beyond what most parents thought. You know, back in like the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, Ouija boards, seances, these were things that were practiced, especially by kids and by adults. You know, they used the Ouija boards and held dozens of different seances within the White House. So, you know, occultism in America is very profound. But if you look at it today, do you think occultism is more prevalent than it was during your time?
It is so prevalent. Like, it is so in your face now. I mean, you know, back in the 60s, we had the Church of Satan, COS, you know, started by Anton LaVey, and there were rock stars that belonged to that, and Sammy Davis Jr. belonged to that, you know, and people were very public about it, but nobody really took it seriously. Now we still have Church of Satan, but now we also have the Satanic Temple at the SatanCon that happened back in, like, February or March. Lucian Greaves said that the Satanic Temple has 300,000 members worldwide. I've been telling people for the last about 14 years that there's over 10,000 Satanic Covens in the world. And I've also been telling people all along that the World Church of Satan had 1.1 million members back in, like, 1989. So, I mean, most things evil don't go down in number. They usually go up in number. Harry Potter made things incredibly popular. What's her name? J.K. Rowling said that one-third of her research went into occult books so that she would have real magic spells put in her books and movies. You know, if anybody wants to look that up, look up a PBS interview from around, it's between 97 and 99, and you can find the actual recording online. I'm sure it's on YouTube. You know, so, I mean, she's putting real magic spells in her stuff, and then parents are just letting their kids, oh, I'd rather my child, you know, they were never reading before, and now they're reading J.K., you know, or Harry Potter books, you know, and I'd rather them do that than be illiterate. I'd rather my child be illiterate.
You think,
you know, magic will take you to hell? Don't think it won't.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's you know, it's prevalent all throughout the Marvel Universe, Disney Channel, Pixar, all these big movie producers, you know, everything is magic.
Right.
Nobody makes videos about Jesus. Doesn't sell, right? You know, and it's a sad fact of the matter that there's not more out there for kids. I'm very careful for what I let my children watch. I'm very careful for what I let myself watch, to be honest with you. I used to just watch, you know, anything that was entertaining until I became a Christian and I realized, okay, these things should be off limits for a reason. Do you think that there is an ability to put spells or deep-seated magic into a movie, played through a TV, and then whatever was infused in that movie magic affect the people watching it?
That's a very good question. I believe that you can, but I believe it probably takes a high wizard to do it. There was a movie came out, it was either last year or the year before, and it was one of the doll movies, you know, the creepy, I don't know what they're called. I never watched. It was like The Conjuring or something like that. So, but it was one of the, you know, they're up to, like, I don't know, the 10th one now. I have no idea. I don't watch them. But there was a lot of people going to see it, and this was in the trailers of the movie. And the people would go see that, and then they'd go home, and they would hear noises in their house. But those noises didn't happen until they saw the movie. Or they would see shadows on the wall, or they'd be asleep and they'd feel somebody sit on the bed and they think their husband or wife came to bed, and they open their eyes and there's nobody there, but there is an impression on the bed as if somebody's sitting there. And then it would go from them sitting there to somebody laying down beside them, but there's nobody laying down beside them. And all these people were saying that all this stuff happened after they saw that movie. And my niece asked me, do you think that movie is safe for me to see? And I said, no. And I would guess that it's because a high wizard probably put a hex on it so that not everybody that goes to see it gets a visitor, but some do. You know, it's like, if you're willing to go see it, I equate things like that to, have you ever received a value pack in the mail? It's like this little plastic pouch that comes with like 100 different little coupons in it. And one of the coupons sometimes is for insurance. And if you ever call an insurance company, you'll have to leave a message, and then they'll call you back. And they'll keep working on you to sell you insurance. And I mean, they'll work on you. Oh, they might send somebody to your house. And they'll, of course, hit you at the high level and try and sell you something that's really expensive. But if you're not interested in that, then they go to the mid-range level. And if you're not interested in that, they go to a cheap level. And if you're not interested in that, then they'll come up with some insanely, well, if you just got your foot in the door, then you'd lock all these prices into place. If you just pay me 82 cents a month, and that'll at least lock all these prices into place. And, you know, and keep this for 5 years and then get something else when you can afford it. Well, most people will say yes to that. Well, and they don't get you at the big thing. They haven't hooked you with the high amount, but now they've got you for the next 5 years. You know, so they're going to keep working on you. Well, when you go do something dumb, like I'm going to go to a movie that might have been cursed by a high wizard, but I don't believe in high wizards. I don't believe in Satanism. I don't believe in spells. I don't believe in curses. None of that's real. That's all BS. I'm going to go do whatever I want to do. Fine, go do that. See what happens. So the person does that. And then that knock at the door you hear, and there's nobody there. That person walking down the hallway, but there's nobody there. You're the only one in the house. You see a dark shadow on the wall. But you wake up, and there's something standing next to your bed that's all black and has red eyes. That's because you called the number on that card, and they sent a salesman to your house to see how interested you really are.
That's probably one of the most interesting ways I've ever heard that put, and it is so believable. To pick up a cursed object or a tainted object, I'll give you an example. Zach, whenever we were doing operations in Portland, Oregon against Antifa, they would openly wear Baphomet masks, pentagrams everywhere, devil worshiping stuff everywhere. They were very Luciferian and outwardly about it. Braggadocious homosexuals, fornicating in front of our riot line. It was a madhouse. It was a madhouse. Just like most warrior cultures, occasionally within law enforcement, we will take home a war trophy. You know, that's stuff warriors have done for thousands of years. And in this case, my whole team, after we had beaten this rabble back a couple blocks, they dropped all their stuff between shields and flags and masks. They dropped their stuff and they ran. Oh, by the way, most of them had the little communist red cookbook. I remember recovering a flag, and I actually have a picture. I'll probably end up posting it. But it says that we are not governed, or we are ungovernable, something like that. And it had these three arrows, I believe, that spray painted on it. And it was like their little calling card sign. And so I take it home. I was going to put it in my office. As you know, hey, I got this from one of the most exciting times of my law enforcement career. Have a cool story behind all of it. And something felt off. We heard the knocks. We saw the doors open. Things happened that we couldn't explain. Another thing that would happen would be the weird mood swings. My wife and I fighting with each other. It just brought this very strange aura, dark aura to the home. And one of the things that I ended up doing, I kind of got a reference point from God. Hey, take that thing outside and go burn it. So this is what I did. I took it outside. It's about 4 in the morning, and I typically don't leave for work until about 6 o'clock. And this is, when I work for Homeland Security. And you got to understand something, man. I'm a cop. I'm a cop's cop. I don't believe in a bunch of BS. I don't Black is black. White is white. You know, I'm very basic in my approach. I'm very based with my principles, my foundations. It's not that I don't believe in monsters and ghosts and all that. It just doesn't affect me because I'm chasing terrorists, murderers, kidnappers, criminals, and etc. Right. So these types of things, I don't. It's to me, I found them to be of an entertainment value, not so much as a cautionary value. So here I am, 4 a.m, laughing to myself, saying, "God just spoke to me and told me to burn this flag," and. As I'm doing it, as I'm pouring lighter fluid on the flag, I had this weird thing, like, pop up in my mind. Don't burn me. Don't destroy me. And I sat there and I looked at this flag all crumbled up in my burn pit, and I just had this weird inclination, man, I don't want to let go of this. I don't want to destroy this. I should, you know what, I should probably take it up out of the ashes and go bring it back inside. What are you doing? And so I walked away from this flag just long enough to have that slap in the back of the head by God. Hey, boy, you better listen to what I just said. And I went, you know what? Nope. I undid the lighter fluid, poured the entire bottle on it, and I set that flag on fire. You would think the story ends. But as this flag is burning, and it's just made of canvas, it's just dyed black canvas, and it had either white or silver spray paint. You know, and to me, that's it. Nothing else. All right. The flag started to make a noise as it burned, and I did not know what to think about it. I didn't know really what to do. I stepped back. And I have my gun on me. You know, I'm getting ready for work, and it made a high pitch screaming noise. And I think I've only ever told this story 2 or 3 times, but it made a high pitch screaming noise that was so alarming. I actually grabbed my gun, thinking something is about to burst out of this flag, and we're about to have like an epic throwdown in my backyard. And I'm just shaking my head going, I have lost my mind. It's 4 a.m. I have a bonfire in my backyard. My neighbors probably think I'm crazy. And I'm like, you know, this is weird. So I let the whole thing burn. And being that it's lighter fluid, it burns out very fast. It's a very fast burning accelerant. Not all of the flag was burnt. So you know what? This ain't gonna do. I'm not leaving until this thing's ashes. I went and got some freaking some gasoline. Poured a little bit of gasoline. Not a lot. Didn't want to blow myself up, but poured a little bit of gasoline on it, and I set that sucker back on fire, and I kept doing it until it was smoldering ashes. But I'll never forget the sound, like if it was hurting. Like if something was in that flag, it was in pain. And it made me think, was this a cursed object? What do you think?
Yes. It's very, very astute of you that is a cursed object. Now, in my profession, we would have doused it with holy water, hopefully had a priest bless it and remove anything that's in it, and then burned it.
Well,
because when the priest blesses it, you're sending the demon to the foot of the cross and letting God judge it to do whatever he wants to do to it.
Right.
The problem with you just burning it is that now it's released into the air.
Right. And you see,
you know, and it's free to go do whatever it wants.
For me, I don't know all that. I was just beginning my steps into Christianity, so my little baby footsteps. And the only thing I could think of, man, was to destroy this object. So I burned it, and then I burned it again, and then I burnt its remains. You know, it makes me think. And not to segue, but it does make sense. Is this something that you see within witchcraft where they will take normal everyday objects and then they will charge it with a demonic presence, knowing that, you know, a child will walk away with a teddy bear that's been, you know, had a cursed spirit put into it. Is that something that occurs, like, I know it sounds weird, but like commonly, like in the mall or in a Walmart or something? Is that something that you're familiar of?
To give you my examples, one is all of Harry Potter's merchandise is cursed. They bring witches and Satanists, usually witches though, but the witches are still Satanists, into the manufacturing section of Harry Potter.
Really?
And curse everything. Books, toys, games, everything, clothing, everything that's Harry Potter is cursed. You know, another example is clothing in Hot Topic. A lot of their clothing and accessories are cursed. You know, they sell a lot of Ouija board accessories, like Ouija board earrings and necklaces. When you were talking about the Ouija board in Toys R Us, I saw Ouija boards in the 90s and in the 2000s that were glitter. They were Ouija boards for girls. Back in the 60s and 70s, I imagine they did it after that as well, but I was told when I was a Satanist that, and in my first coven, that covens used to curse pennies and throw them everywhere so that somebody would, you know, just walk along and pick one up. I mean, no one would turn down a penny. Now we would, but, you know, back in the day, a penny, you know, was worth something. Like, remember in 76, you could buy a piece of candy for a penny. When my dad was a kid, you could get 10 pieces of candy for a penny. So, you know, but now, you know, it takes 50 pennies to buy a piece of candy. But they also cursed nickels and dimes and quarters and just would throw them wherever because somebody's going to pick them up. They're silver. I mean, kids would think they got rich if they found a quarter back in the day, you know, and that quarter is now a cursed object. The other thing that I've seen, me and my ex-wife, she was my wife at the time, we were in a Denny's. It was the only restaurant in town that was open at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And we were on tour. This was probably 2015 or 16. And this guy came in to fill the crane machine. And we went over to look because he had some decent stuff. And, you know, it's like it cost a dollar. And his crane game is set up so that once you put in your dollar, you can keep playing till you win. Because, I mean, that stuff is so cheap. They're going to make a profit on it no matter what you do. And, you know, and if you put in like $5, you can play five times. You can win five different things. And nothing in there looks cheap. But I know from managing an arcade years ago that those little pieces of cheap whatever you're getting almost cost like a penny a piece. So, you know, he's putting these things in there, and I'm noticing that he's got these satanic tattoos all over him, and he's wearing an OTO t-shirt, and then when he's done filling everything, he puts up his hands and he prays over all of it. And I can hear the prayer, and he's praying to Satan to bless everything. And you know, it's not adults that generally want to play those games, it's usually kids. Everybody wants to win something, and you can put in a dollar and win something that looks pretty nice. And he just cursed everything in there. And he said they have something like, I don't even remember where we were, but he said in their state, they've got 92 machines. And he goes around filling everything and putting everything so it can easily be won and collecting all the money from it, like every Friday or Saturday or something like that. So every Friday or Saturday, he's cursing 92 machines worth of objects. So, I mean, cursing objects is a common thing.
Would you be able to explain what the difference is in the white magic and black magic, the references of the good witch and the bad witch? I know, when I was in high school, it was all the rage for girls to say that they were Wiccans, worshiping elemental spirits. Can you discuss a little bit about that with us?
Sure. In Wiccan magic, they believe that, well, you know, like, remember a few years ago when witches called forth for witches to join forces and pray against Donald Trump?
Oh, yes, I do.
And to curse Donald Trump? Okay. I got interviewed on a show where they asked me about that because everybody thought that it was Wiccans that were doing that. And as much as I'm against what the Wiccans do, because they practice magic, all magic is satanic, they don't worship the devil. They don't even believe in the devil. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in heaven or hell. They don't believe in demons and angels. They believe that everybody that dies, their spirit goes to encompass the world. And so if you're Wiccan, you then have the hidden knowledge it takes to tap into those spirits. And those spirits is what helps you do your magic. Even though, you know, you could be tapping into Adolf Hitler, for example, and that'd be an evil spirit. Or you could tap into Gandhi, and that'd be a good spirit. So sometimes if you get something evil, they don't think you're tapping into a demon. So, but I had to tell them that in that poster that was advertising for witches of the world to unite and do these prayers or spells against Donald Trump, one is that Wiccans don't believe in harming anyone. They believe in what they're doing is blessing. I mean, they're there to cure cancer or to make you feel better about yourself. They say that they do magic as like love and light coming your way, and it's only designed to help you. Plus, the poster that was advertising for the magic people was saying that they wanted you to call forth your demons to do these things, and they don't believe in demons. So it wouldn't be the Wiccans that did these spells against Donald Trump. It would be Satanists. When the Bible talks about magic, and like I said again, it's about 33 verses that speak out against it, God doesn't say, don't do black magic, but white magic is okay. He doesn't differentiate. He says, don't do magic. So there is no difference in white and black. There is just magic. You know, and M-A-G-I-C is sleight of hand or illusion, you know, like Doug Henning or David Copperfield. M-A-G-I-C-K is satanic magic. So that's all the rest of the magic. You know, all the stuff that Harry Potter does is M-A-G-I-C-K. It's doing satanic magic. You know, the magic that J.K. Rowling's looked up to put in her books and movies is satanic magic. And the spelling of magic in that way was originally done by Aleister Crowley in 1904, I believe, to differentiate satanic magic from the rest of the world that does innocent magic.
Is there a difference? Because, you know, the Bible references wizards quite a bit. You know, like the ones that were in Pharaoh's court. Even there in Revelation, it actually talks about you know, the special pains that will happen to people who practice magic, and especially wizards. Why is it that a wizard is singled out compared to, what is it, the witch that Saul tried to, or actually did communicate with, trying to talk to Samuel? Why is there a difference there? Would you put wizards at the higher level than the witch at that point?
In the Bible, it was explained to me when I was a high wizard that the 450 prophets of Baal were all high wizards. And of course, they all lost. They all died. And, you know, they had a battle with, I don't remember which Old Testament prophet, but he doused wood with water.
Elijah.
Just to show how mighty his God was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had all these pyres built up with wood piled up really high on them, doused them all with water, had everything soaking, and then God caused lightning to come down and hit the pyres and burn them and kill the 450 prophets of Baal at the same time. So a wizard is, in my second coven, if you were a high priest or a high priestess in another coven and you came and joined this coven, you wouldn't be very high, because let's say you decided to start a satanic coven, but let's say that no one would join your coven and no one would do what you said. So you're in a coven of one, and that makes you the high priest by default. There's no one else in there. So let's say you wanted to join the World Church of Satan, and you went to them and you said, I was a high priest in my coven for 20 years. And let's say you only did it for 1 year. Well, they can't confirm how long you were a member, and they also can't confirm how many members you had. You could claim you had 1,000 members. There's no way to confirm that. So, since you could have been a high priest for 20 years, or you could have been a high priest today, and you could have had 1,000 members, or you might be in a coven of one, you've got no rank, and you'll probably never have rank. In my coven, let's say in a regular coven, the high priest or high priestess is like a priest in the Catholic Church. They're the top guy. But
hey, ladies and gentlemen, so our Zoom call has been disconnected. Shocker there. And now Skype is not working. I'm highly shocked. Not really. So we're going to finish this. Mr. King is going to just speak to us through my cell phone. Hopefully the audio comes out well. But I don't want you to miss the knowledge that he's giving you, because this is helping us to understand the enemy. Mr. King, will you please continue? You left off with the high wizards in the satanic churches.
Okay. So when you bring the high priest or high priestess to the World Church of Satan, then their position, whereas they would have been the Catholic priest in the Catholic Church, they are now a sacristan or a lectern. A sacristan is the person that helps the priest get dressed, or the lectern is the person that comes out and reads the morning Bible verses to the crowd in the church. So you're no longer an important figure. Now, the high wizard, to put it in perspective, in the Catholic Church, is a cardinal. The cardinal is one step away from being the pope. So it's a very high position, but in the Catholic Church, the cardinal has an equal chance to all the other cardinals of one day being the pope. The high wizard can never be the pope. There's a CEO and a board of directors that runs the coven, and the high wizard will never be in either one of those positions. He's at the very top of his game. Now, it's a fun place to be, at least in the beginning, but he can never move up any higher than what he is. But a lot of people that belong to that coven, remember that it's over 1 million members, don't know that. They think that the high wizard is in control of so many things, because they're the face, you know. And to give you an idea of what the high wizard looks like, there's an artist named Pink, and she has a video that came out in the early 2000s, I think, called, the saying the song is like a pill. She has a high wizard in her video four times. The third and fourth time he appears, he's doing a spell. Now, if you also want to get another look at the high wizard, and just in case you're thinking, well, you know, he could be in the video, but that doesn't mean she knows who it is. Well, if you search high wizard and Pink, there's a picture of Pink on the red carpet standing next to the high wizard. So she at least knows him well enough to be on the red carpet with him.
Yeah, he's an odd-looking figure. He has his face painted to look like a skull, wearing a top hat. Skinny little fella. What is so significant about this guy?
Well, he was picked to be the High Wizard, generally the High Wizard is, well, not generally, I say always, the High Wizard is picked by Satan. Satan decides who's going to be the High Wizard. The look that he chooses, when I was chosen to be the High Wizard, they showed me 9 different looks that I could choose. Or I could choose whatever look I wanted, basically, but it had to be a tuxedo and a top hat and corpse paint on your face and either a wand or a cane. I chose a cane because I thought a wand was kind of hokey. I chose a tuxedo from the 1800s because I thought that looked really cool. But I had the top hat, same as everybody else, and you have the corpse paint on the face. But the common corpse paint looks are either white paint or black paint. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a fun look. And, you know, when you're used to it, it's a fun look. When you're not used to it, it's kind of weird. But I brought color to mine. So, like, I would do a purple and green yin-yang symbol on my face. And because of the crazy colors that I did, I got the nickname Rockstar. And I was very popular as a High Wizard. And nobody knows your real name. My name as a High Wizard was Tommy. That was also my name when I was in porn. That's why I kept it. You know, so everybody knew me as Tommy, but it's, you know, Zachary King's my name, so Tommy is not even close.
Would you... Let's figure out how to state this correctly. We got about 13 minutes left. Would you be able to go into Bohemian Grove, the satanic rituals that are performed there, and if you could expound upon the sacrifice to Moloch that is done there?
Well, you might have to cut me off because 13 minutes is not really a lot of time there.
Hey, take all the time you need to explain it.
Bohemian Grove is open in reality 4 times a year, not just once. Everybody knows about, well, if you do know about it, it's open for the cremation of care, which is a 2-week ceremony that takes place in July. It's also open in February, May, and October. And then if you're a billionaire, you can go there anytime you want, as long as you're a member. But you've got to bring your own waitstaff. Now, the 2-week ceremony is a lot of drinking, eating, a lot of overindulging. There is gay porn stars and gay prostitutes there. They are performing with each other or with you if you so desire. There's bathrooms there, but they encourage you to pee on the trees. People that you know have signed anti-homosexuality bills in Congress and the like are there watching homosexual activity happening. There are no girls allowed, no females, which makes another story very interesting. They have a bus that will arrive, and a banner lowers down on the side of the bus, and it says basically that the Lolita boys are here. And I was probably, the first year I was there, the Lolita boys were dressed in tuxedos, shiny shoes, black pants, cufflinks, no shirt, a bow tie, and a black vest. They look very professional, but they also look like they're 12 years old. 10 to 12 years old. Maybe 13. Maybe 13. So I'm at this event where it's all men, all adults. Everything is leading up to the cremation of care sacrifice. And there's these boys that look like they're children. Most of them look like they're prepubescent. So, you know, I'm thinking, is there pedophilia going on here? But my first year, I wasn't really up on everything that happens. I mean, I was told the Illuminati runs the event, Freemasons do the security, and I was told that every president that we've ever had up until then, I was there in 1987, that was my first time, that every president we've ever had up until then was put there by the Illuminati, except for one. And I didn't get it right when I guessed. You're allowed to, you can guess if you want, but you know, unless you've heard my talks, you'll never guess. So the next year that I was there, Lolita Boys showed up again. I heard they're very popular. And this group was wearing Indian stuff. So they had on moccasins on their feet, a loincloth on the front, and then a thong going up the butt, and then an Indian necklace, and war paint on the face, and then a headband with one feather in it. And I'm watching this boy, looks like he's maybe 12 years old. He's bent over, taking care of this guy's shoes. Like, he's tying his shoes, and they're scuffed a little bit. He's cleaning them. And I'm looking at this boy's butt, thinking, that looks like a girl's butt. I mean, it totally looks like a girl's butt, but it's supposed to be a little 12-year-old kid. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not a pedophile. Why am I staring at his butt? And so me being the high wizard, I sent a note to him that said I wanted him in my trailer. You know, I have a trailer there. It's provided by the people that are there. And I'm going to wait for him to show up over there. He knocks at my door and comes inside. My security staff goes outside so I can have time alone. And I'm trying to figure out if he's a boy or a girl. And I'm asking every question I can, and he's just pretty much avoiding everything, answering with yes or no, or no, or no, can't you tell I'm a boy? And just avoiding every question. And finally, I don't remember exactly what I asked, but he was standing in front of me, and like I said, he's wearing a loincloth. And I lifted the loincloth, and I grabbed his package, because there's a package hanging down. I grabbed that, because it's included, there's like a little pouch there. So I grabbed it and squeezed, and it's foam. And when I moved it to the side, there's a vagina. And I opened the vest, and she doesn't have breasts. And she said that they take shots to control that. Some of the girls get surgery. And that they perform oral and anal sex for the guests there. And all the guests think that they're doing this to a boy. Nobody ever reaches around the front and grabs anything and realizes that it's really a girl. And when asked why they do this, and why would you alter yourself like that, this girl said that so far this year, and this is July, so far this year, she's made $800,000. So it's very much a money-making venture, which is quite the scandal because no girls are allowed. Oh, by the way, she's also 19 years old. None of the girls are underage. So all these girls are between 18 and 24 years old, but all of them look like boys. And all these men there think they're having sex with underage boys, and they're really having sex with legal-age girls. It is just so twisted. The sacrifice that happens there at this time is a mock sacrifice, but I'm sure back when we didn't have cell phones, you know, and camera phones and all of that stuff, you know, before, you know, electronics were the norm, I'm pretty sure that the sacrifice was real. How it's done now is that there's a ceremony with a high wizard where he has a flatbottom boat on a small river. But the river, in reality, the boat is on a tracking system. So he sticks a pole in the water and pushes himself across, but it's only about a few feet that he has to go. And then he has a boy that he puts on a table, and it's supposed to be a mock sacrifice. However, the boy, I think, is promised ice cream if he goes through the ceremony. The boy is nude, and he has electrodes hooked up to his testicles. And then they shock the hell out of him, and you hear him scream. It's on the Alex Jones video about Bohemian Grove. And how the kid produces that scream is because his testicles are shocked really bad. And then, like I said, it's a mock sacrifice, so he's not really killed. But I'm sure that he passes out during that, because when I was there. I mean, it's totally dark when it's happening. So I didn't get to see him, and then he's pulled out of the way. He's pulled out of my view. But I was told he wasn't killed.
What's the role of the wizard then? Because at Bohemian Grove, for people who don't know, when we're talking about Department of Defense, the military-industrial complex, elite of elites show up to this. World leaders show up to this. Obviously, almost every president has showed up to it. You know, what would be the role of a wizard there?
You meet with all the dignitaries, all the millionaires, all the billionaires, all the political figures. Everybody wants magic done. Now, sometimes what you're doing isn't magic, though. I mean, people would call me or set up a meeting with me. When we're there, there's a guy named Rich that's like the head of the entire thing. So he would walk me through for the first 3 days and introduce me to everybody that wants work for me, which could be George Soros, who really wants magic. But a lot of times it's just some random guy that can't make a bill pass no matter what he does, can't get something approved that he wants done, and he hears that I can do it. But it's not always magic that I use. He's got to contact my satanic coven, which he does. He may or may not know is a satanic coven. I just gave him a business card. He calls that number, and they negotiate a price for it. And then my coven calls me and tells me what's wanted of me. But a lot of times it doesn't involve a magic spell. It involves that I know the number to call and the form to fill out to get his thing passed. You know, and I do that, and suddenly it happens, and he thinks I did it with magic. You know, but it's basically that. It's the whole kit and caboodle of my job is magic.
Would you say that there is a magic that is being used by corrupt politicians and the elite of the country that we always call the elite, the incredible they? That they are using magic, harnessing magic, in order to sway elections, in order to start wars. Would they do that?
They would do that, but it would be because it's not just dark magic and Satanism, it's also the Illuminati. You know, the Illuminati is like pulling the levers and pushing the buttons of everything. I mean, I know this is hard to believe to some people, but you have to think of everything that happens as a play or a movie, but it's live action. And everybody that's playing a role is just that. They're playing a role. There's just all these actors, and when it's time to change one out, then it's time to change them out. Because this one is doing their job, or this one isn't doing their job, and you know, now it's either time for you to be assassinated or die of quote-unquote natural causes, or be suicided out, or however it takes that they have to get rid of you and put the new person in. And, you know, come on, we all know that Biden did not win. That should be a no-brainer.
Well, I know, you know, and this is my interjection with law enforcement. For that entire buildup of 2020, and for the millions of people who unwittingly participated in magical spells, and we're talking about like voodoo type African magic spells with the ancestral worship, the jumping on the ground, the chanting over and over and over again. And we're talking about Black Lives Matter and the Antifa groups doing this. And honestly, I'll take Antifa out of it. Black Lives Matter, all those protests, and I can't tell you how many dozens and dozens and dozens of those that I was at for law enforcement preparing for riots. And they would start chanting, Zach, and you would get this feeling. And you would see it. Many of us have spoken about it in our hot wash, which is an after-action review, where you could see the crowd becoming animated, becoming, how would you say, like ramping up the energy. You could feel the energy, right? You could like reach out and touch this like bubble of energy, and you could see this like spirit of aggression that would just flow across the crowd of people like a wave or like the wind hitting leaves, and you would see it manifest. And then you would hear the chanting. And it so much that I remember at one point in time, it was for like 3 or 4 days straight. You know, I'd be in my hotel room, you know, cleaning my gear, taking a shower, you know, just getting ready for the next day. And all I would hear is Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. I mean, to the point that it was driving me insane. And you know, they chant all cops are bastards. They chant all these things. And it doesn't really matter what they say. It's the fact that they will chant it in the tune of hundreds and thousands of people chanting it for, you know, an hour or more. And just keep chanting it and chanting it. Is that magic, what they're doing?
Yeah, what somebody has told them about how spells work. And they would have somebody that is doing their intention. So usually one person is doing what the intention, what doing all this is causing. So we need X, Y, and Z to happen if we chant this and we have X number of people doing it. And they could even do it in a time frame. So, and then, you know, as I said, repetition, intention, and demonic presence makes a spell work.
That explains a lot of unexplained experiences that we had that many law enforcement officers will not talk about. That explains quite a bit.
Now, something that maybe you can explain. My caregiver today looked up. He was looking for how many white cops have been killed in the line of duty in the last 5 years. Now, what Google instead produced was how many black men have been killed by white cops in the last 5 years. And it didn't give an actual, it gave a really big number, but it also said that out of all the people that were killed by cops, 25% were black people, and the rest were white and Hispanic people. So with 75% of the people being killed by cops being white and Hispanic, why do Black Lives Matter so much?
Well, that's a population question. You know, the population within America is predominantly white. Depending on the area of the influence of the criminality that's happening, especially within poor areas or major metropolitan areas, for whatever reason, it appears that the Hispanic and black community will kind of stay in there, and that's not 100% accurate. That's not racial. That's just statistics. And there are plenty of communities out there outside of, you know, suburbs and outside of big cities where you have all different types of people of color that live everywhere, right? We're talking about the basics of crime now. I think that to sow distrust within the American people, which has been something Barack Obama has been trying to do since he became a politician.
Right.
I think the ability to sow distrust and to tap into that altered state of racism and hate, there's a different hatred for people who are racist. I've arrested white supremacists. I've arrested black supremacists. I've arrested Hispanic supremacists. They're all crazy. They're all idiots, and they all believe in basically the same thing, which is funny because all three of them can actually sit in a cell together and get along with each other. I've watched that. I've watched, Aryan Brotherhood and Crips and Bloods sit there and play cards together. So, you know, a lot of it's bravado and stupidity and peacocking, tribalism, really. But I think what they do is they try to get back into that thing that was called the Civil War, and they try to use the racism and slavery that was fought over in the Civil War, and they try to bring that old hatred back into now. And it, I think they do that, Zach, because they know that people get along with each other, people can learn to live with each other, especially if you're within a community of faith and you all have a faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord, then maybe the next flaming arrow to shoot is dividing people by color. And, you know, I actually listened to a doctor describe tribalism, why people of all different races, when they get separated, they'll kind of form their own loose groups. And it comes back to kind of like a tribalism thing. I don't know if it's really racism related, but I know racism is one of the many tools that the devil uses to divide Americans. And it's successful. It's very successful. Hollywood and these stupid people within the music industry and these ridiculous politicians who don't care about black people, they don't care about them suffering. If they did, they wouldn't have Black Lives Matter burning down black businesses. Been there, seen that, fought against them. They don't care. I can't tell you, I've operated in many different states, and I've never seen a politician come to a embattled area and actually try to help clean up the broken glass, put up the new logos that have all been spray painted and torn down. They don't do stuff like that, man. You know, they won't send their people there. They'll bail out the people who did that, but they won't come there. You know, and it's all about division. Now, could you use magic in that sense? To spin people up, to rile people up?
Yeah, you could actually not just use it to rile people up, but to block people from the truth.
Okay. How would you do that?
When it comes to making, to doing a spell, the very basic spell would, well, let me see, that's kind of arguable. The basic spell would probably be, it involves a glass and the water and paper and your freezer. So, but that spell would be the equivalent of spitting in somebody's face. The next level up is the evil eye, and that'd be like kicking them in the shins. At each level that the spell goes up, you up the ante on what you're doing in your attack to somebody. So eventually you're punching them in the gut, poking them in the eye, punching them in the jaw. When you get up to the top level, you're doing a hex. In a hex, you have to abort a baby. You give the devil what he wants, he'll give you something you want. So you abort a baby, you give the devil what he wants, you're now dropping an atomic bomb on that person's head. You're going to get done whatever you want to get done. I'm fairly certain, after watching a lot of things that Black Lives Matter has done, that they're having a high wizard do their magic for them, and they're getting abortions done.
Now, would you say that's the same thing for what recently went down with the Supreme Court of the United States? I say that because a lot of the women, and it seems to be mainly women, maybe you can speak to that as well, that came to the defense of abortion. And I mean, man, the most hateful, vitriol, evil, ugly things that these young women, you know, I mean, between the ages of 16 and don't know anything 20, and, you know, no kids, you know, probably not married, you know, the yuppies, and, you know, they're out there, and I don't know why, but they always, like, come in the nude. They'll take their tops off. They'll have stuff wrote all over them. They'll dance very lewd in the streets in front of people. It's the most ridiculous behavior. It's the most ridiculous behavior. It's obscene. To me, as an American, and I'll sound a little patriotic when I say this, to me as an American, I just want to kick their teeth in because it's embarrassing. You know, it's embarrassing for what the greatest generation went through to now have to watch at their dying light what America has turned into. And I just wonder, is the power that is used within the evil of magic, is it really so able to corrupt people and to perform these acts?
Well, I am prone to say that the blood of abortion is what fuels Satan's machine. And there's been more than one exorcist in the world say that a large number of the women that get an abortion get possessed. Now, obviously, it's not all of them, because I mean, Planned Parenthood says that 1.3 million women get abortions every year. I mean, that's just in the United States. I mean, there's abortions that happen all around the world. If you looked up the number of abortions that happen worldwide every year, that's a crazy number. And then up until, I think it was around 2012 or 13, I made a t-shirt that says, "I survived Roe versus Wade." So it's mainly for people that, you know, were born after 1972. And it says on that shirt, 57 million dead since 1973. You know, that was the number. I mean, obviously now that number has gone up, but, you know, to have that many sacrifices to the devil. And what a lot of people don't realize is that every day in all the time zones, starting at midnight, there are these extended black masses that happen. Now, remember, this is in every time zone in the world. An extended black mass happens, dedicating every abortion in that time zone to Satan. Now, when I came out of Satanism, it was January 2008. And I started telling people right off the bat, abortion is a satanic sacrifice. My first public talk that I gave was in 2011. And in my first talk, and it's recorded, I say that abortion is a satanic sacrifice. In 2015, I put out a CD set called Abortion is a Satanic Sacrifice. And a lot of people that got it wanted a transcript of the same thing. So I put out a book in 2018 called Abortion is a Satanic Sacrifice. Now, remember that all this time I've been saying abortion is a satanic sacrifice. Now, as I'm saying this, this is what I'm hearing back. Oh, you're just making stuff up. You're lying. You're trying to sell books. You're trying to sell CD sets. You're trying to start the satanic panic. That stuff doesn't really happen. Satan's not involved in our everyday lives. Satan's not involved in abortion. You're a liar. You hallucinated that. This isn't real. We know that's not true. And then I heard that from 2008 to last year. In 2015, I got interviewed by the Lepanto Institute, and that article went viral. And it said something like, the title of it was, "Former Satanist Says He Used to Do Abortions in Abortion Clinics." And that came out on a Monday. And between Monday and Friday, every Satanist at every Wiccan came out to protest me and call me a liar and say I'm stupid and that they don't believe in these things and that they don't do these things and that I'm either stupid or I'm lying about everything that I'm saying. Then on Saturday, Wiccan showed up at the local Planned Parenthood, I think in Detroit, and said that abortion was a woman's sacrament. And suddenly the attack on me from the Wiccan stopped. And then on Sunday, the Satanists came out to the Planned Parenthood and put on a demonstration. I think it was the time that they had the women's hands tied behind their backs and gags on them, and then they poured milk over their heads to demonstrate something stupid and absurd. But then all of a sudden, the Satanists stopped attacking me also because they realized that the right hand of Satan didn't know what the left hand of Satan was going to do. And now they're admitting to what I'm saying is true. And then last year, the Satanic Temple came out and said on their website that of the things they believe in, their number one thing they believe in is the right to an abortion on demand. And this year, they came out on their website and said that if you live in a state that doesn't allow abortion, you can join the Satanic Temple on their website, and they will send you prayers to say before and after your abortion to make it a satanic ritual, because abortion is a satanic sacrifice. So I've been saying this all along, and I'm wrong, I hallucinated, I'm a liar, whatever negative thing you want to say about me, you can say. But now suddenly, Satan is saying it. So, is Satan lying? Is Satan wrong? Is Satan making this up? Is Satan hallucinating? Or was I right all along? Strange.
You know, with this abortion thing, I found a quote from you, and I wanted to ask you. I'm just going to read it for you, and I'll let you explain it. You said, when I asked about what an abortion was to the Covenant members, I said, I don't know what I have to do here. They explained that there's a baby in the womb, and you are going to kill it. Is this typical for all these, quote, Planned Parenthood abortion clinics?
There is usually at least one Satanist somewhere in that abortion clinic. Now, I mean, it might be the guard out in the parking lot, or it might be the person that trims their lawn and makes it look nice. It might be the receptionist. It might be a doctor. You know, there's a video on YouTube that shows an abortion doctor being interviewed, and he admits that he's probably going to hell, that he's been condemned by Jesus, and that he worships the devil.
Yeah, I've seen a similar video, and it's kind of like a ambush journalism, but these journalists were out there at a Planned Parenthood abortion center. This doctor walks out in his scrubs and confronts the journalists and just starts having the tongue out, making the weird faces, growling, trying to appear intimidating. You know, this guy probably could have been hit with a pillow and died. and I'm like, what peacocking and posturing? You know, and I've seen that mannerism. I don't know how many times in the last 10 years of being in professional law enforcement, of people that I would say quietly to myself, this person is possessed. There's no reason a normal person, even on drugs who are tripping or who are speeding. I fought guys on PCP, heroin, guys who are all loaded up on cocaine. And then you have that one person who starts speaking in tongues. Their voice changes. They start telling you things about yourself that no one else should know. And then you go, okay, this person is demonized. I've dealt with that probably the higher level at least three times. The one time I dealt with someone that everybody in my office knew for a fact this sucker had a demon in him, it was when I was stationed in San Antonio, and this guy was MS-13. And we, MS-13, he's an illegal, and we're trying to get him deported, and we were told to let him go, right? So, you know, immigration didn't want him for whatever reason. This is the time when Obama wasn't allowing, like, anybody to be deported, even freaking terrorists in MS-13. So, he had pentagrams drawn on the inside of his hands. I believe, if I'm right, it was a pentagram on one palm and the Baphomet head on the other. So, like, he would do, like, a mock praying and like, talk about how, like, he's combining the two or something stupid. Well, he started talking in, like, a different language, which, you know, we had a Hispanic officer in there, so, you know, we understood if he was saying anything different. I speak a couple different languages. I didn't understand what this guy was saying, but he was legitimately speaking in a language. I don't want to say like a Holy Spirit talking in tongues, but this guy was speaking in another language and, you know, making the eyes roll up in the back of his head. Some of it was kind of forced. Some of it was real. And then he would start guessing kind of things about people that were in the room. And it hit a nerve in some of the officers. And we just decided, nope, we're done with this. You're done. We went and put him in the back of one of our cars and closed the door. Like, we're not going to sit here and let this guy cast a spell on us. There ain't no telling what he did. What do you think about that type of an experience? Because, and I say this genuinely, Law enforcement doesn't know what to do with these people.
Well, I think what, and law enforcement will probably never listen to me on this, but I think they ought to send Catholics into the room that have been to confession, because to give you an example, like if you go to an exorcism, for example, and you're not in a state of grace, the demon will look at your soul, read that you're not in a state of grace, and know all your sins you've committed since the last time you went to confession. And he'll tell everybody in the room everything that you've done since then. That's why at the beginning of an exorcism, before the exorcism starts, we all go to confession, so that he's not going to pinpoint any one of us in the room and mention our sins, which, you know, your sins could be horrible. You know, that's why you're in confession. You know, but they'll mention everything you've done. And law enforcement needs to not be compromised when they're in that room. So they need to be able to go in that room in a state of grace, have the demon look at you, and not be able to know any of your sins, because they've been confessed and God's forgotten them. You know, the one of the traits of the devil or of a possessed person is having hidden knowledge. And that's knowing something about your parents on their first date, something you may not even know, you know, but suddenly he brings up something, or he knows something about you, or he knows something about somebody else in the room, or he tells you about your last 100 sins because they're on your soul. That's why it's called the stain of sin, is because it stains your soul.
Let me ask you a question then, and we got about 5 minutes left. What is your best advice for people, mainly parents, with the amount of magic that is in the air now, especially within everything that a kid touches or watches is magic? What's your best advice for the parents and how to deal with that? And then lastly, what do you see as the next big event that could be coming in the United States based off of your knowledge and your experience?
Funny thing about that question is that I just did a talk on Zoom through EWTN at the Patrick and Joy Campbell. That was on Monday. And on there, he revealed to the room, I did this story about Bill Gates and about seeing him in 1991. I think we're in Potsdamer Platz, Germany. And I ended up putting a spell on Bill Gates because he upset me. But we were talking about, we were planning for the COVID pandemic, basically. Although we didn't know it was called COVID at the time. And we discussed everything, and that the vaccine for it would kill more people than the disease itself. And then after I told this whole story, then Patrick Campbell revealed to the room that, you know, I know you're hearing about it now, and you're thinking, well, it's easy to invent that story after it's already happened. But the first time he heard this story was in 2017. So it was before COVID actually hit that I told this story originally. You know, the next big thing is probably going to be something COVID-related, something that will cause a giant quarantine or lockdown, because everything we're having, like, you know, the bombing that happened in Boston locked down Boston for a few days. So we got to practice with that. Then, you know, we had H1N1, and that was kind of a precursor to COVID. And now we've had COVID, and we've had different strains of it. We've got this monkey thing going through now. I don't see the monkey thing being as huge as COVID, but you never know. And it seems like it'll be something like that. You know, I think one of my pieces of advice for parents and kids is that you cannot sell what you don't own. So don't think that, you know, you sold your soul to the devil and you can't get it back. You know, all you've got to do to give your will back to God is go to confession. You know, but I mean, I ask people during my talk, like, usually I have somebody sitting next to me, and ask them what kind of car they own. Can anyone legally sell me their car? Why not? Because you don't own it. You know, you can't lease or loan your soul. You certainly can't sell it. You know, Satan will lie to you and tell you that he owns it. He doesn't. All he has is your will. Don't believe him. He's a liar. He's also generally the biggest idiot in the room. I mean, if you were in heaven and you had the option of staying there, but you decided that you were going to beat up God and become number one dog, you're an idiot. You know, and he was the idiot.
Well, I mean, I guess that's one way to put it. You know, I guess at the end of the day, what I see is the enemy will use everything within its power and every person and every power that they claim to have in order to fulfill the deeds that they need done. And they always seem to revert back to blood, to the shedding of innocent blood.
Right, and you know the unfortunate thing is that Satan makes sin fun. It's like, well, no, I think evil things are bad. You know, unfortunately, there are some evil things that appear to be fun. You know, and it's hard to explain to a child why it's bad. You know, and even if you're trying to raise your kids right, there's TikTok, there's Instagram, there's Facebook. There's probably things out there that we haven't even heard of yet, but the children know they exist, you know, and they get caught up in all the fads, and they're told that the world is right and the parents are wrong, and everything that we want to do is old and fuddy-duddy and not worth it anymore, and why would you go to church? You know, like when I grew up, church and my parents, they were the no police. Anything I wanted to do, the answer was no. Anything that I wanted to do, the Satanic Coven told me yes. You know, why would I not want to go with Satan? Satan gives me everything I want. God doesn't give me anything. You know, I describe in the kitchen of life, God is the oven. Satan is the microwave. You know, I can either have a good meal in 6 hours if I'm willing to wait for it, or I can cook it instantly in 2 minutes. Why not take that route? You know, but that 2-minute route isn't healthy and, you know, I shouldn't do it. But you know, we're wanting the ocean, and Satan promises us the ocean, and then he hands you a thimble of water and tells you to be happy. And God promises you the ocean, but you got to wait. And we don't want to wait.
No, I think that, and with the rebellion that's happening within this, the younger generations, because every single younger generation is the new generation of rebellion. I think we're just going to have to wait and see. I know in my lifetime, I've never seen kids become politicized. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I don't like that, because that reminds me of Nazi Germany way too much, when children become politicized, when children become involved in political groups. And, you know, we're just going to have to sit back and wait and see. But I think it's important for those of us as Christians to guard our minds, to guard our hearts, and you know, to take a lot of these things out of your house. A lot of the books, a lot of the movies, even the things that you find to be, you know, kind of innocent. You know, I mean, it sounded silly for a while, but I remember whenever the movie Frozen came out. You know, it's all, you know, these two sisters and magic and all this other stuff. And, you know, everything that Satan can use to slip it in. Just have a little bit of fun here. Have a little bit of magic there. Laugh at a little demon here and there. Anything to get into your mind, to get into your heart, it will rot you from the inside out. It is a ruinous power. And that's kind of my view on it. Do you have anything, closing words for everybody?
You know, the thing that I said at the beginning about, you know, our ministry is all about fleeing from the devil and running towards God. You know, it's not that tough. And this life is very short. And eternity is forever. You know, you've got to go towards God. I want to see everybody that's within the sound of my voice. I would love to see everybody in heaven. You know, but Satan's job and what he wants to do is to bring all of us to hell. And he's working hard at it. You know, again, don't follow the idiot in the room. You know, follow God. Be a Christian. You know, there's nothing better. You know, we all have the chance to die a martyr, and that's a straight shot to heaven. You could be having a really bad day and die a martyr, and bam, you're in heaven instantly. So, you know, don't be afraid. Don't deny Christ. You know, and stand up for what you believe, and believe that this world is real. You know, in the Catholic Church, we do a prayer at the beginning of Mass, and at the beginning of it, it says, I believe in all things visible and invisible. You know, and then you ask the Catholics, what do you think that invisible part means? And they don't know. It's like, really? You don't think that would be God, the devil, Satan, demons, angels? Oh, right. It's like, really? How long have you been Catholic? You know, these people, some of them have been Catholic their whole lives, and they're in their 70s now. You know, one of our problems in the Catholic Church is that we have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, but out of 1.3 billion Catholics, only 15% believe in the true presence. Do you know who else believes in the true presence? Satan and Satanists, because they steal the consecrated host from the Catholic Church. Who don't they steal from? The 66,000 Protestant denominations. They don't steal that little wafer, but they do steal the consecrated host, and they sell it for between $1,500 and $15,000. Why would you pay that much money for a little piece of bread if it was a worthless little piece of bread? We know it's the body and blood of Christ, and Satan knows it's the body and blood of Christ. But apparently, only 15% of us know.
That's very interesting. I think you've enlightened me on this path that I'm in, that I'm on currently, with uncovering the strange and the bizarre, and it leads me to people like yourself. And I thank you very much for coming on. I know the audience thanks you for coming on. And, you know, I know at times it's difficult to talk about probably some of the things that you know, but I am very grateful that we have a man like you fighting for the kingdom now. So thank you very much for your ministry and what you do. Is there, once again, can you let people know what contact information they can have for you?
Sure. It's allsaintsministry.org. My phone number is 802-578-6554, and my email address is mysticforgod@yahoo.com.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Well, Mr. King, thank you very much for coming on. I would love to have you back on someday so that we can, you know, get into some of the stories that you and I were talking about before we decided to record. That always happens, and it is definitely, I guess you could say, a rookie mistake on my part. We always get into like some of the craziest stuff, and then we go, hey, you know what? We should be recording this. So thank you very much for coming on, sir. I'll be in contact with you soon, sending you the information that you requested about the shows. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening, and have a good day. all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.